Welcome to Baseball America's College Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk college baseball.
All right, here we are in another College Monday. I'm Teddy Cahill. We got Mike Lanana and Jim Schoenard here. We're going to talk about college baseball for the first time this season. Opening weekend, just finished up. Actually, I guess some teams are still playing, taking advantage of President's Day, making it a long weekend, but the first 3 days of college baseball are complete. We have a new Baseball America Top 25 powered by Louisville Slugger, and so we're gonna talk about that today, and we're gonna talk about the weekend that was, all the action from around the country. So why don't we start with the Top 25, which in large part looks the same as it did in the preseason, at least at the top of the poll. TCU still number one, Florida State number two, Florida, LSU, South Carolina round out your top five. We do have two new teams coming into the top 25 this week. Mississippi enters at 22 after sweeping East Carolina, and Wright State comes in at number 25 after beating Clemson on the road. And this is the first time Wright State has entered the Baseball America Top 25. So let's talk a little bit about that Mississippi series. East Carolina goes to Oxford as the number 6 team in the country. We like them an awful lot coming into this year. Very experienced group. Veteran team that came close to reaching Super Region, or came close to making it to Omaha last year. They, however, go to Ole Miss, where they get swept, and it was a young Rebels team that did this to them. The number one recruiting class for Mississippi in the fall, and they mixed them in. They started four freshmen most of the weekend. They mixed them with their returning players, and they come away with three big wins. So, Mike, you wrote a lot about East Carolina this preseason. What did you think of this weekend and them and their performance?
Right. Well, you know, I knew it was going to be a difficult weekend. You know, obviously, anytime you go on the road against an SEC team, especially with the atmosphere there, I mean, I think it was a record-breaking crowd this past weekend.
It was. They set a record on opening day, a single-game record, and then it was actually their largest three-game attendance for Swayze Field, and the record they beat was a Super Regional weekend. So it was very good crowds in Oxford.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at that series, and, you know, it was going to be tough regardless whether we had Ole Miss ranked or not. I mean, really, our hesitancy with them is just because they're so young and so much turnover, and you're just wondering how the freshmen are going to adjust. And you look at the three games, all three of them are close for the most part. The first two were run games, which is a difficult thing to say sometimes. I mean, I think it was just, you know, I'm a little surprised it was a sweep. I thought ECU would at least get one at Ole Miss, but, you know, you just have to tip your cap to Ole Miss and what they're able to do, and just the freshmen responding quickly to that atmosphere.
Not only were they close games, but East Carolina actually held a lead in all three games, and Ole Miss was able to respond, which, when I spoke with Mike Bianco, Ole Miss coach, last night, you know, he noted that, and you know, I mean, that's very impressive for a young team to be able to, you know, come back. Like, you know, you fall behind, but they're able to answer the bell every time, and they did it most of the times. If you look, they often came back quickly. Yesterday, they answered a pretty big inning from East Carolina in the bottom half and get the lead and are able to go on and win it. So, I mean, the combination of the Mississippi freshmen coming in, but their returners also were very good. They didn't throw their freshman pitchers very much this weekend. They relied more on some juniors and sophomores, and guys like David Parkinson pitched very well for Ole Miss. And, you know, you mentioned a hesitancy with just how young Ole Miss is. I also have a little bit of hesitancy with their starting rotation. It's not, you know, when you look around the SEC on Friday nights, you see guys, so many guys that look like first-round picks either this year or next year. And I don't think Ole Miss really has that right now. They have a couple freshmen that might become that in a couple years, but you know what Ole Miss is running out right now isn't quite on the level of you know what South Carolina and Florida and LSU are running out there. But it's guys with experience in the SEC, and they should be able to compete. And they started off this weekend competing very well against a very good team. You know, I don't think this takes away from what we think of East Carolina.
No, I don't think so at all. And you know, because they were right there, like we said, they had leads. And you know, you look at how they performed too. I mean, Duanye Williams Sutton hit a home run. Spencer Brickhouse hit a homer. I mean, Spencer Brickhouse is going to be a very important player for them as a freshman this year, starting at first base, a very powerful guy. Williams Sutton is the most tooled up guy on the team. Just
freshman All American last year.
Yeah, so you have both of them playing well. Trey Benton on that Sunday start struggled. You know, he's someone that they have a lot of expectations for as a freshman with really good stuff. So you have to watch and see how he progresses going throughout the season. But that's obviously a tough environment to pitch in your first collegiate start ever. So, you know, there's still a lot to like with them. They didn't pitch as well as you would have expected. But from an offensive standpoint, they swung it well. You know, so I think it's just a matter of piecing together the pitching staff for them. And I think they have the talent, especially with a few of the arms that they brought in, like Tyler Smith. He pitched a clean inning in Sunday's game. You know, Jake Agnos is another guy who could be an impact guy for them. And they have a few other arms that, you know, return some experience. So I think they'll be fine. Obviously, you don't want to start your season 0-3, especially, you know, that's not what you expect from the number six team in the country. But, you know, I'll see them piecing it together sooner than later.
Jim, we talked a little bit before. I don't want to overplay the RPI bit here.
Yeah.
Three games in, but I mean, this was a marquee series opportunity for ECU. You know, they don't play in the SEC, they don't play in the ACC, so they aren't going to have a ton of opportunities to play series like this. I mean, just looking ahead, what does this do for that?
I mean, it's like you said, it's week one. It's only three games, so it's. You don't want to overstate the importance of it, but I mean, this was their biggest non-conference weekend. I mean, they went, you know, if they're competing for hosting or national seeds and whatnot, and they're going to be competing with SEC and ACC teams, and you look at their resume and what was their best non-conference weekend? Well, they played an SEC team and they got swept. That's going to be a problem if they're in that mix and the margins are going to be thin. I mean, they do have. They'll have midweek games with North Carolina and NC State, UNCW. So they'll need to win some of those. They have chances to do some good things out of conference. But, I mean, this is going to be a bit of an issue for them down the road. And, I was thinking about it this morning. I mean, look at Coastal Carolina last year. Mm-hmm. Their biggest non-conference weekend, they got swept by Georgia Tech. And now that was later in the year, so maybe it was a little bit different. But they went on the road and got swept by an ACC team, and that basically directly cost them a chance to host a regional. Obviously, it ended up working out for them, but that was their showcase weekend, and they came up short, and this feels like that same kind of thing for ECU. Now, if they go out and dominate the American and win some of those good midweek games, they certainly could still, I certainly would expect them to still be in that mix to host and maybe be a national seed, but it's only games 1-3, but they all count, and it's going to be on their, it's going to be something the committee talks about if they're in that mix.
One thing that ECU does have going for it is the AAC is a pretty good
Yeah, it's
good
generally
conference.
Been pretty good.
Coastal playing in the Big South last year, they really,
there was a little, yeah.
Yeah, they really didn't have any chances to come up with a ranked opponent or much in the way of top RPI top 50 competition.
That's true. I mean, so I think they'll play Houston, who's obviously had a good weekend, and that's a team we expect to be good. There's Tulane and UConn, teams like that, have been pretty strong in that conference. So there are some chances for ECU to make some noise, but I mean, kind of like in non-conference play, this was their chance to shine, and they, like you guys said, they were competitive in every game. It's not like they were completely outplayed, but losses are losses, and they couldn't win any of those games, which I know was on the road, like you guys were saying, and against a very talented team, but you would have thought a team with their experience level would have found a way to at least pull out one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, playing at Swayze Field is very difficult, but this is a team that almost won a super regional in Lubbock, which is not an easy place to play either. So You know, it's a little disconcerting at this point. We dropped them to 11 in the rankings, but you know, I think we all believe that they'll be able to figure it out as the season goes on here. And you know, I still believe they have Omaha potential for sure. I also think Ole Miss showed, you know, its kind of ceiling this weekend. You know, I mean, it if those freshmen are going to play like that, you know, Thomas Dillard is their leading hitter. He hit 500 this weekend. That's a freshman. Cole Zabowski, another freshman, hit real well. Greg Kessinger and Cooper Johnson at shortstop and catcher. Those are premium positions you're handing to freshmen. They all played very well. Cooper Johnson didn't quite hit at the level that those other three did, but you know, he's always going to be more of a defender than a hitter anyway. But so if those guys can play well and they can continue to get good performances from Will Golson and Tate Blackman and Colby Bortles. Blackman didn't really hit particularly well this weekend either, but you know, some of those older guys continue to step up, and you know, the pitching staff works. You know, that this is a team that can be really good. And they're going to have to be really good here at the outset. You know, obviously they've got three games in the bag already against East Carolina, but UNC Wilmington goes to Oxford this weekend. That's a team that went to a regional final last year. And you've got Mississippi going to the Shriners College Classic next week, or in 2 weeks, in Houston to play an absolutely loaded field, which includes TCU. So, you know, these first few weeks, Ole Miss is getting tested. These kids have to... they have to respond, and to this point, they have. So, you know, they're going to have to continue to do this for the next few weeks and then into SEC play and the rest of the way. But if they do that, I think this Mississippi team can be really, really good. So the other top 10 upset this weekend was Wright State going to Clemson and winning 2 out of 3. That was shocking, frankly. you know, Wright State has been a very competitive team for a few years now, a long time. They make back-to-back regional finals, but this is a very different Wright State team than the team that went to those regional finals. They had 5 players drafted from last year. Greg Lovelady leaves to become the coach at Central Florida. So it's just a very different-looking team. But this group, which, again, like Ole Miss, has some younger players in it, you know, they go to Clemson and they are not... they're not overwhelmed at all. They go out, they win on opening day, they drop the second game of the series, and they come back with a loud 9-2 win on Sunday to take the series and to move into the top 25 at number 25. Wright State, I imagine not that many people nationally are familiar with them on a very intimate level. I mean, it might be a name that you've gotten used to hearing every once in a while, but... you know, this really probably is, you know, their coming out party in a lot of ways, and it was a very impressive weekend to me. I think you know, Caleb Sampin was the Horizon League Freshman of the Year, expected to be their ace this season. He's out. He's banged up. He's not going to pitch for the first few weeks. So they did this without their ace, but they got important contributions from some young players. Some of their returning players like J.D. Orr stepped up. And they just played good, clean, all-around baseball in their two wins. The Saturday game, they had a few errors. But in their two wins, they just played good, all-around baseball, which is what you have to do when you go to a place like Clemson. You can't be giving away outs. You know, you can't be giving away free passes, except maybe to Seth Beer. And you know, if you do that, you know, you have a chance to win if you have the talent. And Wright State has proven that they have the talent. How much they're going to sustain this, it'll be very interesting to see. They go to South Carolina this weekend.
They're going to earn it if they do.
Yeah, an absolutely murderous first 2 weeks at Clemson, at South Carolina. So, you know, it's going to be tough again this weekend. But, you know, if they just continue to do the little things that they were doing this weekend and continue to put together good at-bats and their pitchers attack the zone. They have a lot of sinker ballers and manipulate their fastballs well. If their pitchers do that and their defense plays cleanly behind them, you know, this is a team that you know, already has. I mean, they have the biggest series win on the board now. You know, we'll see if they could add another one this weekend. But you know, they are definitely showing that they're not going away just because they lost the core of those teams that had really taken the program another step forward in the last couple of years. As for Clemson, Mike, what do we make of Clemson with opening the series with this kind of loss at home?
Well, you know, you look at Clemson, and kind of similar to last year, you know, the biggest question with them is just pitching. And because they really don't, you look at their weekend rotation, and you have three guys who've done it before, but not necessarily the most dominant guys. They're the three pitchability guys. And, you know, there are going to be some weekends like this where they might struggle a little bit. Obviously, you hope it's not opening weekend against Wright State, but that's, you know, kind of what ended up happening. Other than Pat Kroll, who was their savior last year, you know, both Charlie Barnes, who really, you know, from all reports, took a jump in the fall. I mean, a lot of people were talking about just the gains that he made. He was holding his velocity a little bit
better. He's not supposed to be pitchability anymore.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a little, you know, a little better, a little firmer. You know, he got hit around a bit, and then Alex Ubix on Sunday, a guy who, you know, a guy who, even though he's a Sunday starter, I mean, last year he performed well. He had a big win against South Carolina in the rivalry series, and a guy with decent stuff and feel, and, you know, he got hit around a bit too. So, you know, that's a little concerning with them. You know, I think, you know, they're going to have some weekends like that at times, I think, this year, but, you know, as a whole, I do think their pitching staff is a little bit deeper, but, you know, you'd expect them to pitch a little bit better than they did this weekend. You know, I know something that we talked about on our top 25 call last night was just losing Chris Williams, their catcher, for the first, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of the season. You know, that could be something that is going to be challenging for them going forward, you know, because we saw it, you know, like you said with UCLA last year when they lost their starting catcher and they really struggled, you know, through the first few weeks of the season. But, you know, with all that said, you look at what else Clemson did this weekend, and there's some very positive signs. You know, Logan Davidson, their freshman shortstop that they brought in that everyone's been talking up, you know, scouts were talking him up, you know, out of high school. He had a really nice opening weekend. He played well. He homered. He was batting in the middle of the order. He looked good. And then Seth Beer picking up where he left off, hitting two home runs this weekend. You know, he's on pace to have a similar season, obviously only three games in, but, you know, he's off to a good start. So they're going to hit. They have a lot of power, a lot of interesting guys in that lineup. It's just a matter of if they can pitch consistently enough and keep their team in the game. So we'll see how they do going forward. They're playing Elon next weekend, and they're going to be at home for a while now. So we'll see how they do.
Well, they do have that big South Carolina series in two weeks.
Yeah, two weeks, right?
Yeah, so they've got to get it strained out for that. And then ACC play starts the week after that. So they got to – whatever issues, you know, they feel like they have, they got to get them corrected.
They'd be in a little bit of a hole if they lose that South Carolina series here. But and then, hey, Elon is a guy that just threw a no-hitter, so
yeah,
you never know.
That's true. The first no-hitter
in Division I. Robbie Wellhalf, was that his?
Robbie Wellhalf.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a redshirt junior, just his third collegiate start through a no-hitter. So pretty impressive feat.
Yeah, I mean, while we're on that was Saturday against Longwood. And
not the only no-hitter of the weekend.
Yeah, well, not like a couple hours later, Jared Poche of LSU finished up his no-hitter against Army. It was a 7-inning no-hitter that game, the second game of a doubleheader. And there were a few near misses on other no-hitters around the country. There were a few other, like, one-hit games.
Yeah, probably there were several one-hitters
going
around.
Yeah, and, so it was... There were some pitchers that were ready to go this weekend, and I mean, that sometimes you see that pitchers are ahead of hitters, but there were some impressive pitching performances, and we did not have to wait very long for our no hitters. You know, 2-1 day, the second day of the season. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, to be able to go out and do that in your first start, and especially for Wellhalf to go nine innings in your first start. He was efficient, obviously, but the first few weekends, you don't expect to see guys throwing complete games, even if they're 7-inning games. I mean, no. Most guys are going 5 or 6 innings.
Yeah, they took Lang out and what?
Lang went five. Pitches, yeah, something. Lang threw 5 innings the game before Poche, yeah. And I want to say he threw like 85 pitches. You know, so I mean that's more typical. Yeah. So, you know, kudos to Poche. And
yeah, we were theorizing he probably would not have gone further, or right. How much farther he would have gone. It could have been a 9-inning game, but
I don't know how much farther.
Certainly was efficient in the 7 he went, so you give him credit for that, for sure.
He only faced one over the minimum. It was an error that that cost him a perfect game. So kudos to Poche, kudos to Wellhaf for coming out and starting the season strong. Mike, you saw another guy that started the season very strong, J.B. Bukauskas, North Carolina on Friday night. Guy that is looking like a top five pick overall.
Yeah.
What was it that was working for him against Kentucky?
Well, he looked like a top five pick overall on Friday. I'll tell you that. You know, the interesting thing was the very first pitch of the game was 96-mile-per-hour fastball, single up the middle, and you're thinking, oh, well, that's kind of surprising that, you know, one pitch and he's already in trouble. But, you know, the thing with him is after that, he started mixing in his slider a little bit more. And really that 1-2 punch of his, you know, mid-90s fastball and his slider, which is, you know, ranges from 85 to 87 with, you know, hard bite to it. You know, it's tough to hit, you know, at the college level. And he mixed in a couple of changeups. It's still a pitch he needs to work on. I talked with him afterward and, you know, he wasn't happy with his changeup. He maybe threw a handful of them in the game. But when you have the fastball and slider working like he did, he's going to be difficult to hit. And he gave up just 3 hits in 6 innings. I think all 3 came in the first 2 innings. Struck out 10. I mean, he was in control. You know, he's someone who's definitely, you know, I remember seeing him his freshman year, and he'd have games where he just couldn't command his slider at all. He was just all fastball, and he'd get hit around a little bit because people could sit on it. But now, you know, talking to him after this game, he recognized, okay, they're jumping on my fastball, they're looking for it, let me go ahead and mix in the slider a little bit more. And he made that adjustment, and he was filthy. And it's a good hitting lineup, that Kentucky lineup. You know, there's some scary bats in there, and, you know, he did a good job neutralizing them. So, you know, and the pitching staff around him, I mean, North Carolina has a lot of arms this year, and, you know, Jason Morgan did well on Saturday, another junior arm, a guy with some experience, showed some flashes in the past, a little inconsistent, but he did well. And Luca Delatri, you know, one of several freshman arms that they brought in, pitched well on Sunday, although he did give up 4 runs, but he lasted 7 innings. He was efficient, and, you know, he's a guy who could be an innings eater for them this year on Sundays.
I mean, that North Carolina sweep to start the season, we talked about Ole Miss and their young players. North Carolina's recruiting class was number 2 in the country in the fall, and so that was an important start for them as well. They like Ole Miss have a difficult early season schedule. Kentucky on opening weekend, Radford this weekend, but Long Beach State coming in the third weekend, and then they're into ACC play already.
They got Virginia opening with,
right,
Virginia, so
exactly,
tough. Yeah.
Now, most of that is at home. I think that's all at home, actually.
Yeah.
So that's helpful for the Tar Heels. But, you know, those kids needed to start off their careers well, and many of them did. Mm-hmm. And now they need to keep it going against some tough competition here.
Yeah, and the guys that they had coming back, too. I mean, Logan Warmoth, the guy who, you know, really finished last year strong, had a nice showing in the Cape, and has kind of, you know, emerged as a prospect, a solid shortstop prospect. He had a really nice weekend, you know, in the field and at the plate. He homered on Sunday. You know, he looked good. You know, Zach Gahagan had a few big hits as well. You know, he's someone who health-wise, there's maybe some concern with him coming in, but he was good to go, playing second base, and, you know, he played well. And yeah, I mean, the question for me with North Carolina really was just how much were they going to hit, and, you know, how much would the offense, you know, progress from last year, because they struggled at times, and, you know, it certainly seemed like a more offensive group and a more physical group than they did a year ago. So adding guys like Brandon Martirano helped too, and guys like that, Michael Bush, another freshman who they really like. He batted in the 3-hole. He had a few big hits as well. So, you know, they seem like they were holding their own at the plate for the most part against some talented arms with Kentucky. I mean, Sean Jelly, 6'11", coming at you. I mean, that's not easy. So it looked good.
One of the other big series this weekend was out at Fullerton, where Stanford went down the coast. They had some difficult weather this weekend all over California, and that series actually opened on Thursday. Fullerton got the 1-0 victory on the soft opening day for college baseball. And then Fullerton just pitched really well almost all weekend.
For 2.5 games.
Yeah.
I've never heard that phrase before.
for 22 innings, they allowed one run. Which, yes, Mike, that's absolutely shocking that Fullerton would do that. Especially when most of those innings were Colton Eastman, Connor Siebold, and John Gavin, which, I mean, that rotation, I mean, you can put that up there with pretty much anyone in the country. It stacks up very, very well. And it's going to make Fullerton difficult to beat all season, and it made Stanford's life really difficult. They finally were able to get to some of Fullerton's bullpen, which is a bit of a weak point for Fullerton. They lost a lot of guys from the pen to the draft last year. They're still trying to figure out how they're piecing it together. And by Sunday, Stanford was finally able to break through, and they came back and scored 7 unanswered to win in 11 innings and salvage the weekend a little bit. But Jimmer, just what do you make of Fullerton's start to the season?
Well, certainly the pitching is the big thing. I mean, like you were saying, that's as good a rotation as you'll find. And to get, we kind of talked a little bit on the call last night, some of these other West Coast teams didn't have the greatest of starts, with Long Beach and UCSB both losing. So that was, for Fullerton to make a statement like that against a good, top 25 team, a Pac-12 team in Stanford, that's a very strong start for them. I think I read it was the first time they've beaten the Cardinals since 2009. So that's certainly encouraging. And I think Taylor Bryan had 5 RBIs in the second game of that series. So that's they put up some they put up 8 runs in that game, even though they lost the Sunday game. They put up 6. So that's they certainly have to be encouraged to get off on that kind of start. And Fullerton's a team we expect to be there at the end. I mean, we have them as the best team in the West. Oregon State obviously is right there, and they had a strong weekend as well, especially on the mound. But I mean, that's a good start for the Titans.
Yeah, it was a nice start for Oregon State, playing Indiana and Duke out in Arizona, and they come away with some pretty good wins in that one too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think Luke Heimlich struck out 11 on opening day against Indiana, and then. Yeah, and then their offense kind of came alive the next 2 days against Duke, and it was a pretty complete opening weekend for the Beavers, and they have one more game left with Indiana today, they're staying in Arizona, and they play Nebraska and Ohio State this coming weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oregon State really needed that after the disappointment of not making the tournament last year to come out and start this season strong, which they absolutely did. I think that was important for the Beavers as they, we have
some of these guys back healthy. I think Elliott Carey had a good day Sunday, so that's all good signs for them.
We have them as Pac-12 favorites for a reason, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nick Madrigal doing Nick Madrigal things.
He did his thing.
And interestingly, playing shortstop. Obviously, he had played second base last year with Trevor Morrison there, and he slid over to short. We weren't quite sure whether he or Caden Grenier would see more time there, but they've got two very good options up the middle in Grenier and Madrigal, and Madrigal doing it offensively this weekend and looking like one of the best players in the 2018 draft class from a college hitter perspective, at least. Across the country, I was at Coastal, where the defending champs held their ring ceremony on Saturday. They had celebrations all weekend, really, for last year's team. I thought it was pretty cool that they were doing a ring ceremony during opening weekend.
Yeah, I can't recall another one like that, another team doing that.
No, ring ceremonies in college baseball, like almost universally, are held during the winter at your banquet or the halftime of a basketball game or something, because it's so hard to get players back this time of year. Guys are going to spring training. But Coastal, they did it. They got everyone there. All of last year's team, player, coaches, they brought in a bunch of people from Omaha that had helped the team there. It was really cool to see. And that was a fun ceremony on Saturday. And then the game started on Saturday, and Western Carolina jumped on Jason Billis right away and was able to hold on for a win. And then
Western Carolina can hit.
Western Carolina can hit.
I saw them up close and personal last year.
They did not play as well on opening day against St. John's, but they rebounded and they spoiled Coastal's party a little bit on Saturday. And then Coastal on Sunday took a loss to James Madison a little bit. little bit shocking the way that happened. James Madison jumped on Andrew Beckwith, last year's College World Series most outstanding player. Coastal 1-2 right now. They still have a game in that tournament to finish up today against St. John's. But we knew Coastal was going to look a lot different. You know, they were very old last year, a lot of seniors on that team. But I didn't expect them to be 1-2 right now. I do think they'll figure it out. I think what I saw down there was a lot of talent, just some young pieces that they're trying to figure out how everything fits together. And on Friday after they won, Gary Gilmore said, you know, we don't have to be an Omaha team right now. It doesn't do us any good to be an Omaha team right now. And he's right. They don't have to be there. You got plenty of time to improve as a team.
You kind of wrote about this with him putting Beck within the bullpen.
Right.
That's all kind of a, let's figure out what we've got, and then we'll kind of go from there, I guess.
Yeah, they're starting out. Alex Cunningham started on Friday night, and Beckwith is in the bullpen because they feel like they have starting pitchers. What they don't have is guys that can bridge the starters to the reliever or to closer right now, and Beckwith can be that bridge, although on Friday it worked very well. On Sunday it didn't work quite as well. But, you know, he's still one of the best pitchers in college baseball. You know, wherever they put him, whether he stays in the bullpen or moves back to Friday night, which he probably will, you know, he's going to be good, and they're going to have a real weapon there. But, you know, for now they've just got to figure out some of these freshmen and younger players who haven't had to play, you know, haven't had, they're just moving into new, bigger roles, and they just have to figure out how everyone fits together, what their best lineup is, you know, who they can use out of the bullpen in what situations, and you know, they're still going to be a pretty formidable team here this season, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, Virginia coming off of its national championship. Virginia struggled a little bit at the start of last year, trying to, you know, the same kind of thing, trying to figure out roles for different players, lost a couple of, you know, key pitchers and all of that, and, you know, obviously they figured it out. They ended up hosting a regional, so, you know, I could see Coastal Carolina, they do have talent and the pieces on that roster. It's just a matter of, like you said, just finding the right spots for them, and I think they will. I mean, I think at this point, you know, you should have a lot of faith in that coaching staff of what they've accomplished. You know, I think they've earned that trust, you know, so I think I'm not trying to overreact about any of these teams, you know, after the first weekend. I think it's just, to, you know, it's baseball. You know, sometimes that's going to happen, and, you know, it's just something to keep an eye on with them.
Hey, you know, the other top team in the Sun Belt didn't have the greatest weekend either. So
yeah,
the Raging Cajuns, one run in two games.
They were not
they were not raging.
They were not raging. No,
I beat you to it there.
Yeah,
you did. I can tell that's where you were going.
Only one run in two games, but their pitching staff only two runs in two games. So, you know, it was
pros and cons.
Yeah, very low scoring out there. But that, I mean, that's a long standing problem for the Cajuns going back to last year, is that they pitch.
Yeah,
they had the offense.
Yeah, I mean, that was their thing last year. They couldn't hit enough, and that was what kind of led. I mean, when their pitching kind of faltered a little bit, they didn't have the offense to make up for it, and this weekend was kind of more of the same.
Yeah,
I mean, it's only two games, but on the other hand, it was Murray State and Hofstra, so
it's going to get harder. Yeah. They go to Sam Houston State this weekend, and Sam Houston won the Southland, very consistent team, Southland favorites again. So, you know, Louisiana Lafayette is another one of these teams. Like, you know, you gotta. There is not much time to get things figured out.
No.
You know, when you're a team like that playing that kind of schedule, you don't have breathers here at the start of the year very often. So you gotta get it going. And you know, they have hitters there. They just have to figure out how to get that offense kickstarted here as they move past opening weekend. You know, so I think those were really the main storylines of opening weekend. It wound up being a very exciting one around the country. The weather in California mostly worked out. You know, Friday was a little wet for them, but
it looks like everybody got their games in.
Yeah, I think around the country, pretty much everyone got their games in. There were some rainouts or postponements here and there. You know, in Arizona, California, some of the South, but for the most part, it was a strong opening weekend. There were a lot of attendance records set. Coastal was setting attendance records. We mentioned Mississippi's. I saw Arkansas set an attendance record. So there were a lot of people out there watching some pretty good college baseball this last weekend, and that's always exciting to see after a long off season.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, and you know the weather for me was beautiful. Covering the Carolina Kentucky series, nice, you know, 72, 73 degrees, which I especially appreciated as I battled a cold.
I was saying, what are you doing getting sick?
Cause, yeah, because I didn't want to be sitting outside in, you know, 40, 50 degree weather like I have on previous opening days. So that was nice. And yeah, I mean, it was really an action packed. I mean, from the no hitters that were thrown to, you know, a couple of upsets that we saw, you know, Wright State doing what they did, and, you know, Ole Miss, not an upset necessarily, but still, you know, seeing what they did with that young team responding. And, you know, it was cool just to see just, you know, a lot of great baseball being played in the very first weekend. So, and, you know, some of the performances we didn't even touch on, like, you know, Brennan McKay at Louisville, you know, homering and shoving on the mound in the same game. You know, he's an early front runner for player of the year, you know, a guy like that. And then, you know, obviously some of the top prospects, like, you know, JP Pukowski is throwing really well and, you know, all that. So it was cool to see. And also I want to give a shout out to JC Cloney at Arizona for throwing seven scoreless innings after throwing, what was it, I guess 16 scoreless innings in the College World Series last year. So continuing that, he's up to 23 now, dating back to that, which is pretty impressive.
That is. And also I want to touch on TCU very briefly here, our number one team in the country, very impressive this weekend, right, against Penn State. Nick Lodolo makes his college debut on Sunday. Solid. TCU just, again, looking like the team that we thought they were, this experienced, powerful lineup, strong pitching. They really overpowered Penn State all weekend, I felt like.
No, for sure. I mean, that was a pretty complete performance, right, you know, on both sides of the ball. And I think Lucan Baker hit another home run, I think, on Saturday. And, yeah, that's... And that was another team that had, I think they had 15,000 fans for their three games. So that was another strong weekend out there.
So hopefully we get another great weekend this weekend. There's some intriguing matchups here. Miami goes to Florida. We mentioned
the first time that series is a little under the radar.
It's, yeah,
usually,
I mean,
right? That's usually like the best. That's usually like always the prime series of week two.
I mean, one of the best rivalries in college baseball, and get that one going. We mentioned Wright State going to South Carolina, Louisiana Lafayette going to Sam Houston State,
Maryland at LSU.
Maryland
Terps
LSU.
Looking to rebound after, yeah, a pretty uninspiring opening weekend, unfortunately.
A couple interesting tournaments. We mentioned the Big Ten Pac-12 showdown in Surprise with Oregon State, Utah, Ohio State, and Nebraska. Tony Gwynn Classic is this weekend. Last year that produced two Omaha teams. So, another exciting weekend of college baseball to come, and we'll have coverage of it all here at baseballamerica.com. You can find this week's Top 25, powered by Louisville Slugger, online. There's Off the Bat, there's The Tracker, there will be feature stories. Mike is writing about Evan White. You can read about all of this weekend's action over online. So there's plenty there, plenty more to come. So stick with us here at Baseball America. We'll be back to talk with you next week on the College Top 25 podcast powered by Louisville Slugger, Power in Numbers. Until then, I'm Teddy Cahill. Thank you to Mike Lanana and Jim Schoenard.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.